Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, welcome back. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Oh yeah.
It's the off season continues, the doldrums. But here we are talking Lions, man, because we just can't get enough of this team. You know how it is. But we're excited to be back on another podcast. As the draft comes closer, we're going to have some more stuff for you, and hopefully we'll be going live on draft day. So, but first, before we get started really here, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid drinkers who are here with us today. We have Bob.
Hello there.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And me, I'm UJ. Big Z, again, could not make it, but we hear he will be coming back soon. So
he's changing diapers right now.
Yeah. He hasn't figured out the pin part. He hasn't heard that they got these new ones with the tape on them now. Yeah. They're a lot easier.
Throw them away when you're done.
Yeah. He's old school.
Yeah, totally old school. But we'll hope to get him back pretty soon. So
only got one diaper. It takes a lot of washing.
he inherited it from his father. Passing it down to his son.
I heard he used those dude wipes on the kid too. They work pretty good. I you guys use those dude wipes then?
No, I have not used dude wipes.
I recommend
them. They're nice. It's a luxury though. That's a lot of money for a
you only live once, man. You only live once.
That's right.
Anyway. Here we are.
Off to a hot start.
Hey, the off season is kind of weird for me
especially this one.
You know, since the playoffs were over and all that, and it was very depressing for a long time. So I just really wanted nothing to do with football. Kind of got away from it, and I think we all kind of did a little bit. But now it's slowly sleeping back into our systems, you know, and we're kind of thinking about it more. Draft coming up pretty soon, getting into that a little bit. So it's kind of fun. Did you guys do anything interesting while we were off, you know, not football related, and maybe, you know, get your minds off the game for a while? Anything interesting? I did one thing. I just want to say,
go ahead, UJ. Right,
I bought a dirt bike and I crashed it on the first day I rode it.
Did you?
And I broke the fall with my face. Yeah, and the bike.
You can't even tell with your face mangled up. It looks the same.
Well, you know, it's my rough, rugged exterior. But anyway, I'm off the subject here. I just thought, I don't know what I was trying to say. Well, here's the thing. I'm frustrated a little bit. And tell me if you guys think the same thing. As always, I'm always looking at Lions news and gleaning through the internet, going through my social media and stuff like that. And there's so much crap on there, like the Lions, like this, probable trade the Lions will do for here, this guy or that guy, you know, these blockbuster deal in the works or something like that. It's all just clickbait. It's all just bullshit. And it just
pure filler.
It's so frustrating. And now I just can't even read that stuff anymore. And it's kind of frustrating. So you guys.
Yeah. So listen to our filler. That's what we're getting at.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
No, I know what you mean, UJ. There's all these like crazy trade scenarios, you know, like, oh, we're going to get Max Crosby and Myles Garrett with this simple trade. You know, we're like,
yeah, I know.
And they'll be like breaking. Yeah. Like nothing's breaking right now.
I guess.
Like, no, Myles Garrett, I would have loved to have him, but obviously he was ultimately just chasing the bag. You know, he wanted that money. He said he wanted a ring, but they're like, well, how about money instead? And he's like, okay, I'll do that.
Buy a lot of rings with the money. Yeah.
The letter is looking a lot like a bluff right now.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is the Lions did not get that DN that a lot of us were hoping to get. But anyway, let's
which means we suck now, by the way. So that's good to know.
We suck?
According to so many people, it's like, because we didn't like make some blockbuster trade, we like we're like no Super Bowls, like we talked about it last time. Woodward, those like the Maz and those guys are brutal, man.
Why
like,
you listen to so that?
I stopped. It was still like it was right at like the combine time where like there was still interesting stuff and like it didn't hit the doldrums fully, and they're just doom and gloom.
Because
like,
Vegas has the Lions as the second in the NFC, the number two. For win total, so not everybody's giving up on them.
Behind who?
By the Eagles.
Oh yeah, the Eagles. Okay,
it's just,
that makes sense.
It's just funny though. One position where we're not actually deplete at is like the difference for like so many people right now.
I know.
Like, and you look at our DN, we got Pascal, who I still believe is going to keep developing into a fine end in this league. And now that he's had a whole season under his belt, healthy. And then you got Davenport back. Granted, you know, he's a cherry on top. Anything we get out of him. And you still got, like, all those guys that stepped up down the stretch last year. Muhammad. And there's one more I'm forgetting. But there's guys. We have guys. We're not, like, it's not like the cupboard's bare on this, any position on this team.
Right. Well, we got a lot of depth is what we got right now. And I think what we're lacking is that cream to the crop type guy on top, you know, that
we have Hutch. We don't need two cream of crop guys. Like, you don't need, I mean, I'm not saying you can't, like, it's not good to have them, but like when you get Hutch, those guys opposite him are going to look totally different next year. Like, he went down, you had two, you know, second stringers starting, and that's like the difference. Like, with Hutch back, he's going to be wreaking havoc. He's like guys like Pascal and Davenport, all those guys will be better because of him being back. And, you know, I heard Aleem might have had something bad about his injury news, but that was just a headline, so I don't know. But the point is, we got guys, and Hutch alone will make such a huge difference just being back.
Well, I mean, everyone's dreaming of the big fish on the other side, which would make our defense pretty unstoppable.
Yeah.
It would be awesome. But, I'm not against it.
But I'm with you. I mean, like, with the lessons from the year, to me, they're just like, get healthy. I mean, I don't look at Philadelphia and say, oh, we should have done what they did or get a mobile quarterback. No, what we were doing was working great until we got injured.
It was
a lot.
And so they held together with remarkable grit.
And if we don't get that other end, you know, like the splashy guy, you know, we might get a rookie or something to work in there. And we got, like you say, we have guys on the roster. And even Derek Barnes can rush the quarterback from the edge. You know, once he's back now, so we'll have him.
That's what people don't take into account, how many injuries we had. I mean, to top tier players. I mean, it just caught up to us in the end. You know,
really did.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
and they still honestly almost played good enough on that defense to win. Like, if our offense didn't lay an egg against the Commanders, we probably still win that game.
I don't know about that.
Anyway. I mean, we would have been, we had a chance at least if the offense didn't have a rough day. You know, like they got some stops that normally would have won us games in the season that the offense just didn't rise to the occasion like they normally did. But like, it wasn't like a great defensive performance. Yeah. I'm not defending that. It was bad. We got shredded.
Well, anyway, we do have some things to talk about today. Since we were last on the air, there were a few free agency moves. We signed cornerback Rock Ya-Sin, which wins one of the top name awards. Free agent sign.
Yeah.
Cornerback from the Colts. That move any needles? That move. Yeah, there you go.
I don't think we didn't have the other guy yet either, Maddox. I don't think last time we.
No. Well, that was next on the list. Cornerback Devontae Maddox from the Eagles. We signed end Kenny Yeboah. From the Jets, re-signed Khalil
now
Dorsey.
Now we got a Super Bowl.
Khalil Dorsey's back, which I'm happy to see.
Yeah,
and we re-signed Coyote Awasika.
Yeah, nice. He was a contributor for sure.
Big solid rotation guy. Maybe he could be vying for the starting spot.
That tight end was interesting signing. I guess he's a blocking tight end primarily.
Yeah. Big guy. So, I can't remember his exact measurements, but he's pretty big. Solid guy.
Because our tight end room's already pretty good, and we're just adding more competition.
That's right.
So any of those move the needle for you guys as far as, you know, impact-wise?
Good moves.
I think the cornerback signings were really good, actually.
All three, yeah.
I mean, not everyone's going to make this team, I don't think, and we're going to have some real good competition in that secondary this year.
Yeah.
So sure. I'm pretty excited about that. I was really happy to see when he filled in. He was a plus fill in, man. He did a really good job for us. So
rock solid depth. Maybe he'll be vying for that starting spot. Graham's vulnerable right now. He's got to show up next year in camp because he didn't get nothing's guaranteed for him. He struggled down the stretch. I love Graham.
They're talking about moving Graham to back to the other side and then putting
Mahogany.
Mahogany or Giovanni.
Yeah, Graham was better on the right side, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
and he flipped because Zeitler was there last year, so they moved
right.
Him.
Right.
So he could move back and maybe be more comfortable.
I don't know if he'll be a starter, but I love him as a depth piece at the very least. He's a great, versatile interior lineman. So, I love that we still have him. I just don't know if he's going to, maybe it was just a end of the season downturn or something. Maybe he'll show up again, but, he is not exactly a spring chicken either.
True.
But that'd be awesome if they could win a ring with him on the team.
Oh, he's got
whether
he's
starting or backup.
Yes.
Because we drafted him and then let him go for a little bit.
I agree.
It's nice to have him back.
Plus, they say he's the funniest guy in the locker room, too, I hear. So.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Yeah.
Bringing him back was still, I love that move. And the fact that he showed up and played such great quality football for us for these last 2 years, this has been, I just love that. I love when your guys come home, It's great.
It is. It's nice. And I'm a little sad. John Kaminsky retired for medical reasons. Yeah. He was a good guy on that team. Just a warrior out there, man. He was tough.
Yeah. Helped turn that culture for Dan and Brad. Like he helped set that tone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's sad to see him go. He wrote a real nice letter in the press, thanking the Falcons for drafting him and thanking the Lions for, letting him shine. And he seemed very grateful for the whole experience. So we're gonna miss him. I think he was a good guy, and he was fun to watch play. He was just one of those lunch pail guys,
Man.
He just worked his ass off, So it was fun. So
he'll be officially retired as a Lion then? Is that how that works?
Well, that's a good question. He's retired from the NFL. I would imagine. I don't know. I mean,
it's the team you're with when you hang it up, right?
I guess.
Unless
you go to the Hall of Fame and you choose whichever team.
Don't sometimes those players go back to their original team or something just to retire as the team? Like they don't even play again. They just resign
sometimes,
just for retirement.
But he didn't play that long.
He was never a star for them either.
No, he had 3 years with the Falcons, I think, before he came to us and had two productive years with us and then that injured year. So he was 6 years in the league, I think. Or is it seven? Six or seven. Anyway.
Arguably his best football with us, right?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely started more
with us, I think.
He started shining with the Falcons until they changed their defensive approach. And then all of a sudden he fell out of favor, and that's why they let him go. So he didn't fit in as much. But he fit in pretty good with us. So
I think that room was starting to get a little crowded anyway with him, for talent wise too. As much as I love him, as you said, lunch pail guy. I think you're going to add another high rank draft pick this year, and you already were. He was already kind of where was he going to fit in the rotation last year before the injuries happened?
That's true.
As much as I like him, I mean, granted, it's hard to say because he got injured so early too, so it was you never really got a chance to see where he fell into that lineup.
Hey, he just falls into the category of the player I liked, that's all. And over the years, we've leaned on that a lot because we like certain players because the team was so bad over the years. Sure. But now we have a great team, and I still, fall in love with some of these players, as players. And, still going to miss them. So, anyway, Anna. The Lions are picking up Jameson Williams' fifth-year option, I thought was interesting. I think some people thought he would get an extension, but I think Brad's playing it smart here, not committing too much money yet.
But
and
they're picking up his fifth year, but this is going into his fourth, right? So we got him for two more years?
Well, I believe so, yeah, because if you're not a first-round pick, I think they have a fifth-year option with you.
He's a first-round pick, though.
Oh, or maybe if it's your first round pick.
Yeah, first round picks get fifth year options.
I had it backwards.
But he's going into year four, though.
Yeah, so
picked it up a year early, too, so we didn't even have to do that. We just decided we're going to lock him down for the next 2 years. Granted,
exactly.
I, you know, like, odds are if he produces like we think he can and outdoes what he did this year, he'll probably renegotiate after the season next year, but at least it'll be under contract.
Right. But I think the reasoning here is this money, pure and simple. We've signed a lot of big extensions. Hutch's extension's coming up, and you know we got to sign Hutch, man, and he's going to get a big-ass contract.
Well, he's going into year four.
Kirby Joseph's going to get a contract eventually here.
Kirby, I heard they already gave him a raise, didn't they?
They gave him some kind of raise, yeah, which I didn't quite understand how that worked, but they did reward his efforts somehow. But either way, eventually he's going to want an extension, and some of these guys are going to –
we're going to lose some good players. It's just
eventually they just can't keep doing it. Yeah, eventually. That's why I think they were keeping the options open with J-Mo, you know. You know, we all love him, but I mean, just saying, like, what if he's a guy we got to let go in 2 years? Or, I don't know. I'm not sure
about letting him go. I thought it was about
I think what I'm just trying to say is that I think Brad's trying not to tie up too much money right now.
So how is the fifth-year option related to that? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, because we're not paying some big-ass contract.
You're saying instead of extending him through a renegotiation, like a new contract.
Right. Paying some ungodly contract, you know, for $100 million or something.
He hasn't played a full season yet. I feel like it's smart not to negotiate with him for a new contract just yet. Like, I think this shows a commitment to him, and at the same time, it's like you're not jumping to a new contract on a guy who's only had one near complete season and had another, you know, goofy suspension. But I mean, he did put 1,000 yards and probably less catches than anyone else this year, so the dude's about to blow up. And I think the thing is, I don't know how you let a guy like that go, because especially the player he seemed like we know he can become, which is a complete wide receiver with ultra elite speed. That's rare. Like, look what the Bengals just did for their two receivers. And they don't have a complete team like we do.
Well, they're going to have decisions to make. It's going to be tough, man. I mean,
but I think J-Mo is one of those guys they intend to keep in this offense. I mean, we haven't done much to build past him and Amon-Ra for that matter. Like, there's not a lot of depth in that room.
No, there's not. And we're lucky they've been able to stay healthy, and you know, and Tim Patrick was he's helped out a lot, and Khalif has been a solid guy.
Oh yeah,
but you're right. But beyond those two, when those two are stars, we got a couple solid guys and no depth at all, really, in that room.
Start pulling on like the Tim Kennedys and
right. I know. So anyway, that's going to be interesting how they play out these contracts and stuff over time. Another thing that came up, Campbell was talking about, I really like the way Campbell does this kind of stuff. Like, he called out Hendon Hooker and Broderick Martin basically to step their games up. And he says, if Hendon Hooker wants to be the number two quarterback, then he has to win the number two quarterback job. I mean, that's just saying that out loud, you know, that should light a fire under him. If he's any kind of competitor at all, it should light a fire under his ass.
And nothing he doesn't know, but now it's been said on purpose out loud for the world to hear, which, I mean, hey, yeah, like you said, light that fire. But, I mean, I imagine that fire probably already felt pretty hot when they signed another quarterback.
Well, yeah, I mean, not that this guy's any more talented than he is, but just, yeah, you're right, that they gave him more competition. Proven, right. Well, the first shred of doubt, the crack in the infrastructure, whatever you will, is when they didn't bring him in when Goff got
with Teddy
picked up in that game, and they brought Bridgewater in. That I think that said something right there.
A little something.
So,
I mean, that's got to be kind of hard, though. Like, when all you have is practice to try to show what you are, and, like, he's gotten no game reps. They don't even give him as many reps. Like, reps go to Goff first.
Well, yeah, you got a point there, but he did play a lot of the preseason and
never really stood out other than his runs.
No, but that's not an excuse, though, you know? That's just not an excuse.
There's no excuses, and I don't think, like, Dan's not saying anything that Hendon doesn't know. Like, he knows he's got to prove himself, and that's this team in general. Everyone knows there's always a competition regardless of your position. Like, if Hendon shows up to camp this year and somehow just looks so electric. Like, even golf starts to get, you know, a challenge. But I mean, I don't expect that, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Everyone
should, though. That's how Hendon Hooker should be thinking.
Hell yeah.
Hendon Hooker should be thinking like he should be the starting quarterback. He should be.
Absolutely.
I mean, if he's a competitor, that's what, there's no other way he should be thinking. Mm-hmm. And I hope he is thinking that way. Push Goff, you know, why not? You know, Brady had that, Tom Brady, I was listening to him talking about it when, you know, he was second string and third string. He says he was so, he couldn't get any reps. And, you know, like they'd give him like 2 reps in practice, you know, and the other guy's got like 10 or 20 or whatever it was. And he says, how can I prove anything? You know, and then someone told him, he says, make those 2 reps your Super Bowl, man. Like, those are the 2 biggest plays in the history of football, you know, like, and so he treat every single play like it was this game winning play of the Super Bowl or something, you know, and next thing you know, he's getting like 4 reps and then 10 reps. I'm just saying it's a mindset, you know, in that position. And especially when you're second string, which, you know, we've experienced in college, Red Dog, where, you know, my first year I didn't play and it just ate me up alive. I imagine these pro athletes had that same pride. They, you know,
I mean, right? Like, their livelihood's on the line. I mean, like, for us, it's just the love of the game and like wanting to be so badly on that field. Like, we don't have millions in our job. Like,
unless you're Tim Boyle, there's no pressure. You just play every year for a different team and collect a check. Never see the field.
There are exceptions.
Being perfectly average can do for you.
There are exceptions.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. I mean, there's no chance Goff is actually getting pushed, but has to be his mindset. You're right.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, like I said, like, Hooker would have to show up playing out of his mind, but like, even then, it's like something would have to give on Goff's end, probably. But yeah, you're right. Mentality. He can't think of it any other way. Yeah, you're right. He shouldn't be in competition with a new guy they brought in. He should be thinking, I'm going in for Goff.
He should be. And the other guy was Broderick Martin that he called out too. And, you know, he was a project from the get-go. We knew that.
Yep.
However,
this is the year of maturity.
I think we should have seen a little more from him by now. And I think the Lions are thinking the same thing. He apparently, you know, worked on his body and, you know, the NFL body and got a lot better physically and stuff. But he still hasn't shown anything on the field yet, so.
I think at this point, his past means nothing. It's like, what is he going to show up and do this year in camp? Like, I don't think, like, maybe should have is whatever. I think they knew, just like Iffy, like year 3, Iffy hit his stride, finally got healthy, and wow, what a performance he put on the end of that back half of that season. This is the deadline, right? Like, come to maturity now or we're moving on. Everything else is, it does relevant.
Yeah, when Campbell's like challenging him publicly, that's when you're getting towards the end of your rope there.
Yep.
Because the Lions are actually very patient with a lot of these guys that have talent and like they see their skill set, they'll like wait it out a little bit. But,
But
eventually, you know, they gotta show it on the field.
Yeah, put up or shut up.
Well,
man.
And that's what Dan said about Iffy. Like, it wasn't like they love him as a player, but the injuries just kept stacking this year when. It was just kind of the final straw. Like, we couldn't rely on him to stay healthy, so it was time to kind of move on.
Yeah. What did Campbell's like, look, if he's a fucking China doll, man. No, maybe he didn't say that in so many words. But
he did bring up the injuries, but yeah, no, he didn't say that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's unfortunate that sometimes that's just a part of it, though. I mean, look at Marcus Davenport, example there, sort of.
Well,
he was a more proven veteran. He had some good years there, but
got a nice contract to go play for the Dolphins too, so it's not like, you know, if we could have got him cheaper, I bet we resign him. But, you know, good for him. Go try your wares elsewhere. And
absolutely,
that's at Davenport. We're getting him cheaper because of his injuries.
Exactly. Yeah,
the Lions know what he can do because when he was healthy, he was actually very effective.
Very effective. And,
if we could just hit one healthy year from him, man. Like,
that's what I keep hoping for. Just one healthy year from that guy, and he'll, believe me, guys, when he's healthy, he's awesome. He's a really good player. But
I'm sure that had to be frustrating for him last year because he was on a really good defense and
the
team was on the rise, and then he had to bow out that early. That sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to work his elbow out a little more. He got that weak elbows.
Was it an elbow injury? Didn't he
whatever,
break
I
his
thought
arm?
It was an elbow or an arm injury of some sort.
But, like, yeah. I mean, I also think Pascal will make it so you don't necessarily have to lean on him on early downs necessarily as much. I think Pascal, at the very least, I expect Pascal to be a really rock solid first and second down type D end who can, you know, really stop the run. And then if it turns into a pass, still kind of make something happen from time to time. If not, develop into something a little more potent than that. But, like, you could leave Davenport more with him now because he put together a solid season.
I think none of us are down on Pascal, really. It's just that we were hoping he'd have a little higher ceiling. He's a really solid player. I believe he's become a very solid player, but
yeah, but it's the first season he's played healthy. So, I mean, I say the ceiling is 2 DB determined. The athletic traits are there. Now that he's put together a full season, I do expect him to take a little bit of a jump forward. Now, this is like his sophomore year, effectively. So, but he's also has years in the league now. His pass rush needs to develop a bit. Like, he needs to show the ability to win a few more reps here and there. But at the same time, at worst, he's a really rock solid rotational piece in that D line.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else on
Roderick does have the advantage of Aleem being down for a while still too. That might help him carve out the back end of the roster, maybe hang on till injuries, like Wingo might not be back at the beginning of the season. Things like that might, like, thank God we signed Lopez. Him and Reeder at least give you confidence you'll be able to field two solid tackles. Well, and Levi.
I think so we're kind of solid on the D-line. I mean,
Jamal Adams we signed back.
Not too worried right now. So,
The way, Iffy leaving was what my most disappointing part of this offseason, by the way. We forgot about it last podcast to mention it. We got hung up on Zeitler. I was really bummed because I still think he's an elite guy when he's healthy and, like, could be an absolute difference maker. Yeah. But I can't blame him for moving on either.
Yeah.
And UJ, like Aleem McNeil too. He'll be back probably not for the opening of the season, but he'll be a little later. But it'll give some other guys some playing time.
Here's one thing I'm hoping with the Lions this year, and I wonder how much Campbell thinks about this, but winning the Super Bowl is about peaking at the right time. It really is. And I just wonder if Campbell's put thought into that. Like, after this last season, it seemed like we just peaked in that Minnesota game at the end of the year. And then it was just, I don't know. We just quite sort of lost the edge a bit going into the playoffs, even with the bye week and stuff. And maybe it just seems that way. Maybe that's just the illusion of it. It could be the injuries. You know, it could be a lot of things.
Just an off day could have been the explanation for that game. That's the problem. Like, when it's the playoffs, you just one day and you're done. Like, if you don't have a good day, you're done.
It's peak. There's something about peaking, though. I mean, these teams playing their best football right at the end of the year, and that's when it should be. And I wonder if Campbell puts this into his thought processes. Like, how do you plan for a team to peak at a certain time in a 17 game season, and then, you know, the playoffs and stuff. It's got to be really hard.
I'm sure he assesses, like everybody else on the team, he assesses everything every year, like in his own coaching and his own, because I think part of that was the injuries, and it was very impressive the way they kept going with all the injuries. They still were dominant, but then the playoffs, that bye had to look really good. You know, like, shit, we got so many injuries. Yeah. That bye would be so nice right now, you know?
Yeah.
So it made it a little more valuable, maybe, than it.
But here's
what it would have been better to play the extra game. But
sometimes I think that
the division was on the line, too.
I think the bye can be the worst thing for you. Like, it's like you lose that edge, you know, where you're going week to week to week. And then you relax a second.
Off the throttle.
And then, you let your foot off the throttle freak, and then now you have to press the gas on again. It's just, I think sometimes that's a detriment to you. I really do.
It plays out that way plenty of times. Like, look at the college playoff this year. Did any one seed or any bye team win? I think all of them lost right away.
It all depends, though. I mean, I personally, I think having the bye is great. I mean, Kansas City's had it and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you
know, like in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong either, but
we were riding the Lightning this season because of that defense. Like, they were doing so everything. They were pulling out too many stops too early. And I think that's it, UJ. Like, I think if we had a healthy defense, I think we're looking more at just like pushing for perfection instead of digging deep every time to try to find a way to win. Like I think I brought up last time, like, when you have to tap into emotions, you're getting off base, and then things get more chaotic. Things get a little more, you know, unpredictable. Like, and it, you can pull off amazing feats, like 15-2, beating a 14-win team in the final, a division rival in the final game of the season in outstanding fashion. And I still think the celebrations of both like teams really were evident. Like, when the Vikings won the week before, they celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. And then when we beat them, we celebrated like we won the Super Bowl. Both teams out in the first round. Like, I mean, yeah. I think, you know, it's just, if we're that defense, the way it was trending in those first four games, we were going to be a top five defense, trending towards maybe the best defense, or at least top two.
I kind of disagree with you on that though, Red Dog. Because I think Campbell's got these guys very businesslike. I mean, he does use emotion and stuff, but that's not his primary thing, where he's just...
No, but I think he needed to this year, though.
But I don't know. I think they take it one game at a time. I mean, it turned out bad in that one game, but whatever the reason, I don't think it was because he's too emotional.
No, that's not what I'm saying. He's too emotional. I'm saying he had to tap into it to dig performance out of a depleted defense. Like... When, like, you gotta, and the offense had to pick up the slack and stuff. And, like, when you're, I just think he used it to try to, like, rile them up to get the best out of them. And I just think it moved us away from that, like, level of that level headedness just a little tiny bit, enough to where we were a bit depleted when we hit the Commanders in, like, an emotional way. We blew our wad, so to speak. And then we hit the playoffs and we hadn't fully, you know, got back on business mindset yet. And I don't know. And I don't think it's like a massive degree. I think just to a slight degree, and then little things went wrong in that game and everything just kind of cascaded and we lost and it was a bad day. But like even Dan said, like it was one day we played bad. It just was a bad day to play our best football. And so like ultimately that's what it is. And you can't do that in the playoffs.
Well, you have to keep level headed about it. I mean, you lose your mind in this game if you know, and these players, you know, when you see the interviews and stuff, and they're usually so boring, you know, like, oh, yeah, well, we're one day at a time, and, you know, we're just trying to make myself a little better each day, and, you know.
Right,
to,
cliche.
You know, like, it's all just so cliche bullshit. But that being said, it's so true. I mean, they have to live that, you know, and then that's what they have to do, and that has to be their mindset. It has to be. And it's boring for the fans listening to interviews, but, you know.
There's no, like... one like magic bullet. I mean, like,
no,
like you look at the Commanders last year, they were riding on emotion and having fun and, you know, like,
yeah,
until they hit a brick wall the next week. But I mean, that's how they came with the Lions game and it worked for them, you know?
Yeah,
right.
So who knows?
Well, that's what, like, emotions are potent. That's what I'm saying. Like, but they're chaotic. Like, if they can just as much get you that unpredictable win as screw you over the next week by like taking a dip. Like they're up and down if you're using emotions as a tool for motivation. Yeah. Like, you gotta, if you're riding that edge of perfection, like that business, like I think we would have if our defense was healthier. I don't think he would have tapped in just as much as he did. And like I said, only by a small degree. I just think that had a little effect and just helped make all the rest of it kind of fall apart in the game.
Yeah. It's amazing how we can analyze this stuff. Because of the one game, or
we talked. It basically, it comes down to that one game.
Which sucks because it's the hardest game to analyze because it's not one thing. You can't point to any. Like, it just was a bad day. Like,
yeah,
it comes down to it.
But I'll tell you what, with this team, I just still remain highly optimistic. And you know, Campbell and Holmes have this thing humming pretty good, and we're going to be competitive for a long time. You know, this team will be like the...
Your window's not closed?
No, our window is wide open, baby. I still see the Super Bowl in the next couple of years of this team. Absolutely.
Because look, what do we not have? Like, what do we not have that other teams have? Like people are, oh, look, the Eagles went and got Saquon. Well, we have our Saquon. We have Gibbs. Our D-line might not be quite as stacked with top-round names, but we still got elite player like Hutch. We got to leave McNeil. We got some studs, DJ Reader. Our linebacking core is trending towards maybe the best in the league in the next year or two, like especially as Campbell fully matures. I think him and, our secondary, we replace Carlton Davis with DJ Reed, which many people think is an upgrade. And you got two of the best safeties in the league. Our O-line is still, like, you know, there's a little turnover there, but they're top unit in this league. They'll still be very good.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere we have an obvious weakness. Even the D-end, everyone's so worried about. Like I said, we got solid bodies there.
Well, let's use this as a segue because we got a couple more things to talk about. Let's just touch on the draft a little bit. We're not going to really go deep diving into it or anything like that. But you're talking about needs, Red Dog. Like you're saying, what is that one thing the team needs? So let's just start there in the draft. What are our needs? I know the Lions are notorious for going for the best player available, no matter what the position is. But let's just, for the sake of the argument here, what do we need on this team that would really help us in the draft? I'm talking about. So,
go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think it does come down to the best player available thing. Like I could see them going offensive line, you know, picking up a guard or something, or if there is a defensive end that's available there that they like, they might take a swing there. But I could also see them waiting to take somebody because they, you know, it all depends on their analysis. I mean, like you said, this team is so well constructed right now, they could go anywhere. I would be shocked if they got a running back in the first round, but you know, you never know. Who's that guy? The guy who's like the top guy.
Genty?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he my looks God. Awesome. That guy. I hope the Bears don't get him, man. I'm really hoping they don't.
Yeah, I hope not.
One in our division, let's just put it that way. But
I hope they go to the trenches unless there's some magical impact player out there.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you. And I'm talking about D-line, mainly edge or O-line. They talked about wide receiver as a kind of a need with this team just to get a young wide receiver. And I could see them picking a wide receiver somewhere in this draft too, in the top three rounds, maybe.
You
know, I don't think in the first round, but
it depends on who's there.
Yeah. But this isn't really a big wide receiver draft as compared to some other years. This is big on defensive linemen and offensive linemen. This is a really good draft for linemen. So
that could mean though you're facing like the top receiver potentially falling close to us or something like that though. Like, you know what I mean? Like we could be, it could be like the difference of the top, one of the top three receivers versus like one of the top six or seven D linemen, you know, like if it falls that way, it potentially, that's the, I agree with what Bob said. He nailed it. If you could find it, if they see a guy who they just think is the guy and could be an impact player, like a cornerback wouldn't surprise me or piss me off, like an elite cornerback. Like I heard there's one that like some people really were high on that they think could be falling towards the end of the first round. I would not be mad about that for a second. Elite secondaries do magical things in this league. And like, you know, there's always the flavor of the moment, and right now everyone just saw the Eagles D line absolutely decimate the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, so everyone's thinking obviously we need to have all first round picks across our D line because that's how you win the Super Bowl, which it could be. But you've also seen, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but you've seen them, elite secondaries, and you're just like, oh God, I wish we had that. Like look what these guys do. Yeah. You know, and like if we had another first round cornerback to add, like across from Terrion and Reed, like we could just be an absolute shutdown. Oh, the Seahawks secondary. That was like everyone, like that was a joy to watch. When you have elite secondary, like any elite units are worthwhile. So like impact players that you think could step right in and play a role on this team then upgrade you are all worth it, no matter what position they play.
Well, you make a good argument regarding the secondary, but I'll be a little disappointed if they pick a cornerback, to be honest with you, with the first pick.
Fair.
I would too.
I want an edge guy or an offensive lineman guy. So
I'm with you though. Those are the biggest needs. Like I would say, I don't think the need is as big across the line from Hutch as everyone thinks. Cause I think a higher regard for Pascal's upside and I believe he'll go. But at the same time, there's some studs that if you like them, by all means, or a D tackle I wouldn't be mad about, but or like an elite guard though would be sweet, because looking at the depth chart, as people have laid out the depth chart, and the only place on like the whole team where it's one deep is our left guard, like and it's Graham Glasgow, who was not outstanding at the end of the year. So an elite guard would not be would be awesome.
Could you guys see any situation like say Abdul Carter's foot is like questionable, he starts dropping to like 12, could you see Brad Holmes moving up
absolutely
and like taking a swing?
Well, I didn't want to get there yet, but I fantasize this scenario where look, we've been building depth on this team, and we and this team has a lot of depth now. I mean, with the signings we just made this year, plus our guys coming back healthy, we're a pretty deep team, pretty deep.
Oh yeah,
barring injury. So this is might be the time to take that shot on a high draft pick. You know, trade up high.
Yeah.
What if we get a trade for Abdul Carter, man? What if he moved up to like number 2 pick in the draft or something, like, and give away a bunch of? Can you imagine Abdul Carter and Hutch? Good Lord, man!
Oh yeah,
that would be insane. It would absolutely.
And you like, have him on a rookie deal.
Everyone wanted to trade for Garrett.
We get him on a rookie deal. Oh my God, that would be just. I'd go nuts.
Well, I do. My gut is telling me, UJ and Bob, like, I think that I feel like Brad's going to trade up, because I don't think, like, we've talked about, you can't house 6 players in a draft right now on this roster. They won't make the team. Like, we're going to end up cutting more rookies as time goes on, because we've built such a deep roster and a quality roster that, like,
very good point. Very good point.
Like, screw some of them picks. Get an impact player that you like. But that could be someone like Mike Green from, Marshall.
Right.
Like, some people are absolutely enamored with him and his ability to get after the passer. He's not necessarily the best edge setter per se, but that, I mean, maybe we don't need that. We got a bunch of guys who are solid at shutting down the run. Like, something like that. Like, I think I could definitely see, I almost feel like that's going to be the case. And Brad's shown he's willing to trade up when his guys are in range.
Well, that's just to compliment what you just said. I do believe that they are looking in the high end of the draft, 1 or 2 guys that they think can move in and start immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, like you said, how many guys can make this team? We're so deep right now. It's going to be tough for rookies.
Yeah.
But if we get 1 or 2 guys on the top end of the draft that can make a difference on this team, that's why, to me, the idea of moving up sounds like a good idea to me. Now we don't need a ton of guys at a ton of positions. But if we get a couple top quality guys, like, I'd give away some draft picks to get Abdul Carter, man.
Oh man.
I'm telling you, a guy like that, or, yeah, I don't know. You'd have to go really
move top five for sure. Which
it'd be very
like,
expensive.
It's going to be expensive, but maybe not as expensive as everyone wanted to do for, you know, Garrett, and you're not paying of the outrageous contract that you would have for Garrett, you know? That's where, F them picks could totally come into play in that regard. And then suddenly everyone's Super Bowl meter will be back on. Oh.
Yeah, I know. We're
Super Bowl bound again. But, like, yeah, I love it. I don't know. You're right. Running back, there are some intriguing running back prospects, because you have a guy who, you have a couple guys who ran, like, absolutely blazing 40s. But like, it'd be like the last position of need, but like, yeah, like, well, Bashaul Tuten from Virginia Tech ran a 4.32 and passed up Gibbs as one of the top like 5 fastest running backs to ever run in the combine. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that sounds silly, but also more dynamism just tends to contribute to winning. So, like,
it does. And yeah, we have a lot of that. So is there anybody in the draft that intrigues you? Let's just say we stay where we're at, just 1 or 2 names that might pop out to you.
I really like that kid from Nebraska, though he might be more of a second round pick, Ty Robinson. Your guy Landon Jackson from
Arkansas. There's 2 guys that intrigue me Atlanta Jackson from Arkansas, 6'7", 265, just a beast. Or he's 280, actually. He's bigger than that. Can you imagine him on the opposite of Hutch, though? Big motor, pretty good lineman, good
he
bend.
He fits the prototype. He's kind of, he'd be like another Davenport or, you know, in that kind of category. Big, really long, really strong, outrageous numbers. He, at that size, he ran a 4.68. Had a 40.5-inch vertical. He's a little weird build, like with a really long lower body.
Yeah.
But like you watch his film and he just puts tackles on the ground. Like that's what they like. The guy that can collapse the pocket and then let Hutch be the wild man running around.
So and, he's kind of high on my, you see him where we're drafting. He's kind of high on my list. And so is Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, the offensive lineman who can play all five positions on the line. This kid just looks like he's got it. And these are the two most intriguing guys to me at our position in the draft there.
I don't hate the idea of like a Mike Green. He doesn't fit the prototype we like, but if he's just a slippery, just speedy pass rusher who gets to the quarterback, we don't need another complete DN necessarily on this roster. Like we have some big boys that can do like that edge position. Let him be just like a pass rusher I don't think he's a bad
passer.
Exactly.
We got to get to the passer. No,
we absolutely do. And I mean, Hutch will improve that, but more help the better.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting year, and it'll be interesting to see who we pick up in the draft. With Shep now leading the defense, that'll also be interesting to see what kind of wrinkles he adds to it. And I have a feeling it won't be exactly the same as Aaron Glenn.
Right.
It'll be his own wrinkles into it. And it's going to be fun to see how that progresses. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, actually, to see that. But I think I get the impression that Campbell really, they're putting resources in that they want this defense shored up, man. They know how close they were last year. You know, barring injuries, and I think they're going to put a lot of resources into the defense this year. So hopefully not at the neglect of the O line.
I don't know how many more. Like you said, they're still like even as tough as that was. Well, you're right. Injuries is still like the cloud that looms. It's like you got to trust that that won't happen again. All these guys come back healthy, like Hutch and Aleem, like and Barnes, like. That's the toughest part is projecting them to stay healthy. But if they do, that defense was trending top five. And like I add another 100%. Top talent to that, and I don't see why it doesn't hit that mark this year.
Our guys play with such fury and vengeance out there. Like they're, you know, I don't know if that contributes to injuries, just the way these guys play. But, man,
I wonder a little bit.
They played with such fury. It was so much fun to watch. And, I don't know. I don't want to lose that part of our game. But
like, what would you feel if they went and picked like a top linebacker or something? Like,
well, I thought about that. Jihad Carter from Alabama. Jihad Campbell.
He's intriguing.
An intriguing guy. Okay.
4.5, 240 at 6'3", 235.
I wouldn't be opposed. Wouldn't be opposed to it.
I mean, so. I don't know. You know, we have a lot of good linebacker talent, but. Bob said, impact players, man. You find a place for him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Well, guys, we've been going on here for a while. Let's just touch on one little thing real quick here before we're done. Rule changes. You guys see any of this stuff? But the Lions had three proposed changes in the rules.
Yeah.
And shut down, shut down, shut down. Like shooting skeet.
Did you see that the Lions wanted to not have an automatic first down for illegal use of the hands or whatever?
Yeah, or defensive holding.
Defensive holding. And the only two teams that voted for it were the Lions and the Jets with Aaron Glenn.
I saw that. Saw that. And then someone from I think it was the Packers or somebody that came up with a argument against it, which is actually a good argument against it, you know, because Campbell was upset about the third and like the second and longs, you know, third and longs, or you know, where they get an automatic first down when they needed 20, you know, to get a first down.
Yeah,
but you know, defense can use that to their favor though in those situations, that whether they'll kind of hold on they can get away with more and still not kill themselves, you know, like,
you know,
like, I'm not explaining it right, but
it is a weird penalty, though. Like, 5 yards automatic first down. It's like you don't get a lot of yards up, but you get that first down's a killer.
Yeah,
like,
it's very punitive.
Yeah,
very. But I see that point too, UJ, what you're talking about. So
yeah, so anyway, that's not going to change.
The one that was in our chat
yeah,
was the division winners not getting
automatic
lower seeding to the wild card with more wins, which I am totally against. I think you are on the other side of this, UJ.
I am on the other side of it. I think if you win your division, you're in the playoffs. Yeah, definitely.
but you shouldn't
have the home field advantage over a team that won 4 more games than you did, in my opinion. But
I can see it from both sides because it does, like, in a way, it diminishes your efforts of the regular season. Like, you put together a great record and you fall to the last seed potentially still, or like one of the lower seeds.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, you know, it's like, I don't know. There's like a historical aspect to the other side. Like, this is the way it's always been. And you defend your division. The division gets to defend their home turf. The division winner gets to defend their home turf. And a weak division can lose. Like, just like in real life, like a, just because you hold the kingdom doesn't mean an unmoored army can't come in and take it from you, you know, like, and that's what happens. Like, better team comes in and wins and you didn't win your division. But I do think it cheapens it sometimes when you have such weak ass divisions. It just looks bad. Like,
it does.
When,
I don't know, that changes all the
it
time.
It does. Like, it changes.
Look how good the Central was this year. I mean, the North, you know, like the,
oh, you're going back in time there.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like the
Norris division. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but then there's a lot of factors because how someone else is saying, yeah, the wild card teams also, they get a weaker schedule, right? I mean, division winners have to play a tougher schedule.
Oh, so the next season, getting, you mean?
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things to balance it out. And I saw one modification they were talking about. Maybe if the division winner is 500 or below, then they don't get the home field. Otherwise, you get it.
That's better. Like, the one the Lions, like, pure seeding, I don't like. I think division should really matter. I do think maybe the weakest division does risk losing that advantage if they're so weak that the whole division just sucks, that they can't produce a team that looks even worthy of the playoffs. Like, that team should risk losing their home field advantage, maybe. But beyond that, I'm fine with the way it is. I don't think pure seeding is the way to go. But I think a modification could work. But the Lions, the way they proposed it was like pure seeding, right? Just strength of record. And then that's also not right, because records aren't a flat comparison. Everyone has a different schedule. And a lot of things factor into why people have more wins and stuff. And it's just... I don't want to be too punitive.
The bottom line is not the end of the world for me either way they do it. Yeah. So I have a slight feeling one way, or you got feeling the other way. But in the end,
the one argument I didn't really. Like, I didn't get my cousin in the chat was it made the Lions look weak, like they were complaining they had to fight the Commanders. But I thought it was more like they were more like it was more about watching the Vikings have to fall to the 5 seed after winning 14 games.
Yeah.
Like, and like, that just seemed kind of wrong in a way. But, I still, like, nothing's going to be perfectly fair, and there's enough historical precedent and the way it is fine.
And I'm good about history, man. I like tradition. So tradition's okay with me. The other rule proposal they did was proposal to allow players who are placed on injured reserve prior to the regular season to not count against the regular season 90-man roster limit. Ooh. And that got tabled. I think that they just don't like the Lions or something. Whatever you guys say. Well,
this is the first year we got shot down.
And that they're looking at it later?
They're looking at it later. So
we've had some successful things passed in recent years, though, haven't we?
It seems like a logical... ask, though, you know, if a guy's injured and can't play, why should he count against the 90-man roster?
Yeah.
But the NFL's bullshit. They keep extending the season and don't help the roster be bigger. Like, it needs to, like, be addressed. Like, that's my biggest problem. Like, you're going to keep demanding more of these players, but then keep this bullshit, like, 43-man active day roster of the game. Like, I don't know. I just think they need to address roster size
in
general.
That one still befuddles me. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, if you get a 55-man, 55, right? Man
53.
Roster, 53. Why can't they just all suit up on game day? What the hell?
It's so weird.
When I played in college, we had 100 guys, right. And they all suited up on game day.
Yeah.
So
it's a weird rule.
I don't know. I don't get it.
But. I've heard like extreme versions where it's like, if you want to keep adding this roster, what if you are adding the season? Just make the roster so big that like, you know, you have like entire backup roster that like you might go to the game and like, oh, this week Hendon's playing quarterback because Garrett Goff's got like a bye week for him or something. Like, I don't know. Like, that would be interesting in its own way. Like, it would change the whole strategy of like,
well, that was my theory back in the day. Like, the players were mad about 17 game season. Well, sure, let them all play a 16 game season. Have a 17 game season, but the players can only play 16. That would really add a lot of interesting strategy to how they use the players. When do they sit that guy for that 1 week, you know?
Get them like some baseball math in there, kind of like your how
it
you
would really
use
add to the
stuff.
Strategy, you know.
It would.
Game, but,
it anyway. Would. And then Tim Boyle would be like, wait, I have to start?
What? Right. Wait a minute. Shit.
That goes against my whole plan.
Oh,
the only good thing they've done recently is making the practice squad a more viable reserve unit, like where you can keep some veterans around and keep them on as a not
good.
Just only like first 3 year players are able to be on practice squad and stuff. Like, that's silly,
right?
But they need to keep modifying that, even as the 17 man or 17 game. Like, especially if they expand the season.
That whole practice squad thing, though, that was another thing where Holmes was great last year, just finding players, you know, like, as we were dwindling. He's like,
he was.
You
oh
have to be
God.
Aware of every roster in the league, you know, if you're in that position.
We're kidding.
Like, and we signed guys back. Could do your system and all that.
True.
Know. That's got to be a hell of a job, man. I'd kind of like to be in their office, see how they operate one time.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
You know, because they got to have.
Fly on the wall, man.
It's got to be amazing.
They should do that. They should film like the whole thing and like wait 15 years or something. Show it, you know, so people can see what the hell is going on.
That's a great idea, Bob. That's a great idea. Oh, my God. So,
but then it'll be like, you know, won't matter.
Yeah, right. Won't give away any secrets or anything. So, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see that, though. Like,
to your point there, go ahead.
I was just saying,
to your point there, the like, look at what. We resigned like 3 or 4 of those guys that stepped up for us down the stretch that came out of nowhere. Ezekiel Turner, I forget Muhammad's first name or last.
Yeah,
name.
Yeah, I know.
Like, we signed a few of these guys. Like, I think like one of the best blessings of last season might come out is just how hardened and like how much we got to try some of these depth players and get them in the fire and really see what they're made of. And a lot of them stepped up. Like, and those guys will be rotating in potentially this year, you know, not being relied on. Like, that could have really just like really firmed up our roster in a way that wasn't planned, but worked out in a cool way.
Well, this team is becoming much more battle hardened now after the last couple of years, and especially last year. So I just see nothing but better things ahead. This is going to be a tough game for anybody to play against, tough team for anybody to play against.
Yeah.
You know, no one's going to really want to.
We're like
play
a default winning record team now. Like, if we fail to win, at least have a winning record, that's going to be a shock. Like, this is like the kind of team that wins the regular season now. Like, that's what we finally become. We have one of the best rosters. We're going to win most of our games. And which is awesome.
last year, to me, was just a step in the process, you know, like, there's a hardening that comes with these teams, you know, that to become Super Bowl champ, you know, and it's a rare team that just does it out of the blue. You know, it's usually 2-3 years of just becoming hard, you know, and learning hard lessons. Like, and last year was a hard lesson for us, you know, and so
it was.
Yeah.
I just think it's all going to pay off, and we're going to see the dividends of that this year. I really do. So
I know. We just got to close the deal.
Close the deal, baby.
That's right.
The 49ers have been like, right on the cusp for like several years now. And then now it looks like they're going to fall back at least for this year.
But we have one thing the 49ers haven't had, which is a franchise quarterback, baby.
True. So, hey, any closing comments you guys want to make? Any jokes or anything? You got anything?
Your face.
I got a I got a joke, but I don't know if I can tell it on the radio and on podcast.
You got to tell it.
I'll try. Okay. So you'll have to use some visualization technique. Okay. It's an Italian joke. Is it okay? Can I tell an Italian joke?
Yeah, sure.
I don't like Italians, so no.
Oh, I like Italians. Italians are great. So this Italian guy, he's out at the food market, and he buys a couple big watermelons, you know, big, really nice, big, fresh watermelons. And he puts one under each arm, and he's walking home with these two big watermelons. And this guy passes him in the street. He goes, "Hey, you know what time it is?" And the guy holding the watermelons, he looks down like he's looking, and he sets the watermelons down for a second. He gets up and he raises his arms and he goes, "I don't know."
I like it.
That's a good, got funnier like the more I thought.
That's not disrespectful. I think it's a good.
Okay.
That's a great one.
All right.
Especially all right. It would have been kind of funny without the Italian factor, but then the Italian factor just adds on that.
Well, you know, they talk with their hands a lot. Hey, yeah, you know.
That's the Italian factor right there.
Yeah, right there.
Well, I'm saying, like, it was kind of funny already that he just put the watermelons down and says, "I don't know." But then, yeah, the Italian, it just adds a nice, funny layer.
Well, thanks for diagnosing that joke for me.
Yeah.
Explaining
you decided
I am the joke's diagnoser, so you're all right.
So, any last comments, you guys? I think it's time.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Before you go off the air here. Don't we have like a mock draft coming up in a couple of weeks? Because isn't the actual draft in like
it's getting close. At the end of the month, right?
Yes. So, it's April 20th, I believe, is the day.
So I'd say in the next couple of weeks, we're going to do a mock draft, which we always do.
So. Yes. So I'm sure Kid Jay, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to do a mock draft. Yes. We are. It's definitely in the cards. Hopefully Big Z will be back. You know, he's big on that. And we're definitely going to do a mock draft for sure.
We're going to have perfect accuracy.
As we always do.
If Big Z purchases a second diaper.
Yeah.
Really get it done.
I told
you. Hey, you guys, we have a GoFundMe pitch in for Z's second diaper.
Oh, yes. Yes. Diapers for Big Z. You can zealous
and we come
at
full circle.
Ben hashtag diapers for Z.
Comment if you think Z needs another diaper.
Oh boy. Okay. Hey, on that note. On that note, we need to thank some people. First of all, you the listeners, thanks for you guys who listen to us. We love you. You know, I know we haven't been on here a lot lately, but we're trying and we're building back up again, man. We knew this a long time, you guys, and you guys know us, so we love you, and we try to do the best we can. We want to thank Minute Maid Media for helping making this possible. Sideline Report for also helping make this possible and hosting us. The Detroit Lions. Oh yeah, we want to thank them. Yeah, because like if we didn't like you know without them like.
Yeah.
What would we be doing? What would we be talking about?
Talking about something else, apparently.
And you can follow us.
We'd be mute.
What would we be potting about if we weren't potting about the Detroit Lions? I don't want to go there.
Diapers, okay. Probably.
You can follow us at Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. YouTube, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid.
We'll have
email
our live
us
stream
your
of
thoughts or record a question or reaction that could be used in the show because we do show this on YouTube and our producer Kid Jay, the great Kid Jay, who does amazing things, puts out a lot of little shorts and video. He helps produce this thing. He's amazing.
What about Kid?
Greatest producer.
Oh
in the
my God! God, I am remiss. Sorry, guys.
You are.
Remiss. Let's especially thank our producer. Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Woo!
All right.
He's the best around.
He's the best in the business. So, thanks, Kid J. We love you, man. You are the best. So, email us if you want to drinkingblukool8@gmail.com. And, you know, I don't know.
FaceTime us, we'll chat. It's cool.
Yeah, come on, you know. Send us money. Yeah, I don't know.
DM me.
So drink some Kool-Aid. Hey, you know what we should do for the draft though? We should have our favorite like elixir for the draft night. I think that'd be a good idea. What do you think?
Our favorite elixir?
Like the elixir of life?
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean blue Kool-Aid?
All right. Anyway. All right, guys. We're done.
Are we?
Ed,
put a fork in us.
Last but not least, as always, go.
Go.
A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.